So we've been talking about help thinks wow. And the main focus of this is how do we connect to God, and especially through prayer. Prayer is more than just saying words. Prayer is more than having that perfect saying down. But we've been looking at the very core of our connection with God in these three basic concepts. And we ask ourselves, what are we really connecting to? And this is our core verse here in Psalm 16, verse 11. It says this, it says, "You will show me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." It is in that connection with God that we experience a different type of joy than the world experiences. And we are longing to enter in to the pleasures of knowing God's presence in our life. And so to experience God's presence in our life and to experience a different type of joy that motivates us in every part of our life, we need to connect to Him in prayer. And prayer is more than words, but it is an attitude. It is a focus. Today, as we're going to see, it's a perspective that connects us to God. And last week, we looked at that it is a sense of desperation that we need His help. You see, when we just connect to Him because we need His help, when we value Him as the source of our need, then we connect to Him. We will naturally relate to Him, because prayer is more a relationship than it is a speech or a request or a communication. And I know so many times we see it as that, almost like a phone call. And yet it's not. It is meant to be a relationship that we grow with Him, because He's always with us. So it's not something that we have to send a phone call or a text to. He's right there with us. So it is a constant interaction with God in our life. And so we need to first of all start with this understanding that we live life with this desperation, I need Him. And if we will just begin to incorporate that into my life, that I need Him every moment, that in every situation I need Him, and there's a constant cry of help, God help me in everything that I'm doing, then that is going to keep us connected to Him. And if we looked at Elijah, that even in the midst of his failure, he came to that point that he was able to let go and acknowledge that he needed Jesus, needed God. And so we talked about this help idea. Well, today we're going to look at the second part, which is the thanks idea. And again, we limit Thanksgiving. And I know we're into that Thanksgiving time of year. And many times this is the only time of year that we really think about it or really focus on Thanksgiving. And yet, thanks should be something that is just an automatic nature of who we are, and as we connect to God and interact with Him throughout every moment of every day. But here's the problem. Thanks has to do with our perspective. Again, even more than an attitude, remember, and we say that all the time, it's having an attitude of gratitude, which sounds really nice. But more than your attitude, it's more of a perspective. It's how you constantly see things. Is more than your attitude. Because how many know attitudes are hard to control? And attitudes can go up and down. But your perspective can be a choice. That we need to choose to see things in a different light. But how many have ever had a wrong perspective? We all have. Just all raise our hands. We all see things through our own lenses. We see things out of our own circumstances. And sometimes we forget that where we are at is not always the best place to see something, or at least to define it. And so our perspective sometimes needs to be more than just our natural reaction to something, but it needs to be a choice of seeing what we don't see. It's not being tricked that I'm going to choose something that's not really there. It's not mind over matter that I'm just going to believe something enough and make it true. That's not what we're talking about. Because some people will preach that. You just got to get yourself in the right. I don't believe that. Because there are some things that no matter what you think, they will never change. Because the reality of it is that this is what it is. What I'm talking about is we need to see things from God's perspective. Not to change reality, but to see the reality of what God says it is. And sometimes that is what we have to believe, even though we can't see that to be reality. And yet, God sees it beyond us. Here's some great examples of this. If you're listening on the podcast, you won't be able to see it, but you can Google these pictures. Many times in life, there are just random things that happen in our life. And we see it as just things that we just have to negotiate. We have to navigate through life. Things like this, that there are just piles in our way. And sometimes we see this is just something in my way. And why do I have to go around these things? And they're a bother. And everything seems random. But we need to begin to trust that, you know, God says there's nothing random in your life. Even if it's painful, even if it's hard, it has a purpose. It has a place in your life. Because it's a matter of perspective. And we can see all these bars, but if you get in the right position and you see these objects, they create an image that God is making in our life. In this case, this portrait of Nelson Mandela, I believe. And it's all a matter of perspective. As we move, we see it in a different light where you would never see that at any other angle. And so you can see them both side by side. Which way are we seeing things in life? Are we seeing a portrait of God in our life that He is building through the randomness of things? Or do we just see things as inconveniences, as pains, hurt? We need to change our perspective. We have another example. On the left-hand side, we see a chair. And many times we see things as, man, I need that, but if we see what the actual reality of it is you could not use that chair. As you can see, it's broken. It's going to be painful. It's not going to hold you up. And yet, many times we're deceived. So sometimes perspective, we don't see the good, but sometimes the enemy gets us to think that we need that. And we long for things that God says, no. We wonder, why don't you give that to me, God? And God says, because I see what it really is, and it's not what you think. Another good example of that is this piano. If you look at the reflection in the mirror, it looks like a great piano. And yet the reality of it is a jumble of junk. And yet the illusion is many times not what it is. I think many times we fall for the illusion of the promise of life from this world, from our own desires. And I'm telling you, God is trying to tell us it's an illusion. It's not going to fulfill what you think it is. It's a matter of perspective. Here's another example. You've seen this picture. Everyone knows who this is. Hopefully, maybe. Margaret Thatcher, the Prime Minister of Britain at one point in time. And we see things as, this is something I could like to know her and do. And then if we see the actual reality of it, turn it right side up, not quite what we thought it was. And yet, it's a matter of perspective. Just by turning it upside down, we see the reality. And then it's the opposite. Sometimes we see things as challenging and as bad. And here's an example. We've all been in rooms, if you've been in rooms like this, where something looks so huge. And we see this person on the right looks so much bigger. And many times we see the problems in our life and the hurts in our life, and they look so big. And yet we know that the person on the right, in fact, in this case, is smaller than the person on the left. But it's a matter of perspective of how the room is laid out, and we see that. And God wants to give us a better perspective. And many times we see it like this. And it's like, many times we see ourselves as no one. I am nothing. I'm smaller than everyone else. I'm of no value. And yet the perspective is the person sitting down is bigger than the person standing up. It's a matter of perspective and how they took the picture and lined it up. And yet all of these things, they're kind of neat when you see these illusions, and you can look at so many more online. But yet we need to understand that it's the same thing spiritually and emotionally, that we are affected by our perspective, and that's why we need the Word of God, that He can show us truth. The problem is so many times we just can't overcome what our eyes see, and we can't overcome the perspective of what we feel, which is why the Bible says your heart is the most deceiving part of you. It is wicked beyond belief, that we need to begin to not trust in our heart, but begin to put our trust in God, that we begin to believe the report of the Lord, not what we see. And I think if we begin to change our perspective and see things the way God sees it, we begin to enter into an understanding of who God is. And that's what Thanksgiving is all about. Thanks, or the attitude of thanks, is seeing things in the perspective of who God is. And when we see who God is, we realize how much we have to be thankful for. And it's not about a matter of being thankful, it's a matter of just understanding the value of what we have. And I think that's what Thanksgiving is about. It's not necessarily giving thanks or acknowledgement, it's just living in the perspective of the value of God, of seeing Him for what He really is, and letting that affect us, and letting that soak into us, so that in every situation, I see God more than I see what the world says is there, more than what my heart says is there. I begin to see God, and it's something we have to practice, because our eyes and our heart and the things we touch, they're so real, that we need to practice the perspective of thanks, of seeing God in every situation, changing our perspective. And one of the great ways to do that is the same way that they did throughout history, and we have examples of it. Now we can use them to help focus our perspective. That is through Psalms. It is through Scripture, that as we read the Word, that if we practice these things and use these things, let them fill our hearts, we are able to change our perspective. A great example of that is Psalm 136. So we're going to look at that today for just a little bit. Psalms 136, it does not say specifically who it was written by. We believe it was possibly written by David. We know that it was used in the Temple of Solomon, so it wasn't too much later than that. So David is a possible writer of that. We know that it was used within the practice of the temple worship. We know that it was used all the way up to Jehoshaphat as he went to battle, and the priests sang this acknowledgement before them as they went out and found victory. And so it is a psalm that just reminds us over and over who God is. And if we are going to have an interaction with God through a perspective, we almost need to just constantly practice a reminder of who God is and develop a perspective of thanksgiving, a perspective of understanding that it's not what I think is there. Yes, I'm hurting, but I choose to see God in the midst of that. And I'm able to be thankful. I'm able to rejoice no matter what is going on around me, because I have a different perspective than the rest of the world. It's not that I don't feel pain. It's not that I'm saying that this is not happening to me, but I can see beyond that. I can see that there's a purpose. There's things going on. And so let's go through this. And we're going to do it kind of how they probably did it when they first wrote this, and it was part of the temple worship. And even today, in many liturgical practices, they do this, and I think it's not a bad thing. So I'll read the first part, and you will respond, and it's just going to be the same thing every time. And you might say, why does it repeat over? But how many know it's the repetition that just drives it home, that raises the value. So I'm going to read the first part, and then you're going to repeat the second part after that. So in Psalms 136, we're going to start in verse 1. And it says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods,
for his mercy endures forever.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for to him alone does, to him who alone does great wonders for
his
mercy. To him who by wisdom made the heavens,
for his mercy.
To him who laid out the earth above the waters,
for his mercy.
To him who made the great lights,
for his mercy.
The sun to rule by day,
for his mercy.
The moon and stars to rule by night,
for his mercy.
To him who struck Egypt in their firstborn,
for his mercy.
And he brought out Israel from among them,
for his mercy.
With a strong hand and with an outstretched arm,
for his mercy.
To him who divided the Red Sea in two,
for his mercy endures forever.
And he made Israel pass through the midst of it,
for his mercy endures forever.
But he overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea,
for his mercy endures forever.
To him who led his people through the wilderness,
for his mercy endures forever.
To him who struck down great kings,
for his mercy endures forever.
And he slew famous kings,
for his mercy endures forever.
Sion, king of the Amorites,
for his mercy endures forever.
And Og, the king of Bashan,
for his mercy endures forever.
And he gave their land as a heritage,
for his mercy endures forever.
A heritage to Israel, his servant,
for his mercy endures forever.
Who remembered us in our lowly state,
for his mercy endures forever.
And he rescued us from our enemies,
for his mercy endures forever.
Who gives food to all flesh,
for his mercy endures forever.
Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, strong,
for his mercy endures forever.
For his mercy endures forever. See, it is this constant focusing on who God is that we need to just repeat over and over. And sometimes, you know what, we're like that. And as you saw me get going along, sometimes it starts to wane a little bit. We've repeated it so much that it loses power. And that's what the enemy wants. And yet we need to be stronger and stronger. For his mercy endures forever. For his mercy endures forever. And I'm not going to let anything in life begin to grow that weak and weary. And we begin to say, well, his mercy endures forever. No, we need to come back and begin to just repeat the truth and the perspective of who he is. There is power in that. There's strength in that. There's an alignment in that. You see, the repetition, the over and over, is not just something that is a poetic device, but it is something that aligns us. It's like the hammer that over and over makes the line as we dig and we keep that straight edge going. We need to come into alignment with the perspective of God. If we think about that as we read this, first of all, it reminds us we need to constantly remember who God is. It says, you are the King of kings. You are the Lord of lords. Are we constantly in perspective that God is over everything? It's not about me. It's not about this world. God is God. He is above this. He is the all-powerful. We need to keep that perspective because there is hope in that. I'm not leaning on something that I don't know about. I'm leaning on something that has the power, that he is purposeful, that he does not fail, he does not change, that he is unfailing. We need to continue to remember who God is. He is the omnipotent. He is the one that is not subject to our weaknesses, but he is unchanging. We need to remember who God is. He is beautiful. He is the source. He does not do anything evil. See, we need to keep telling ourselves. The enemy will try and sabotage that. He will try and distract that. Just like Adam and Eve, he said, oh no, God didn't really mean that. God's really trying. No, God said it, and I believe him, and he is a God of truth. He is one that has never lied. He is the one who has always kept his promises. He is the God of truth and beauty. He is this perfect example that I can hold on to. We need to keep a perspective of who it is we serve. The second thing is we need to remember him and give thanks for creation. Whenever we get down, we need to look around. You know what? When we feel like my life is crumbling, my life is worthless, I want you to look around to the sky and the birds. And even in the darkness, there is beauty. And you need to remember that God is the God of order. And if something's happened in your life, there's a purpose for it. I can see the beauty in creation. And if he made all of this, then there's a reason. Because he didn't make all of this just for a random throwaway thing that doesn't matter. When you look at creation, when you look at the sun and the moon and the stars, you need to remember that God has a plan for your life. That you are part of creation. You are not a throwaway. You are not a random happenstance. Just like everything around you, you were made meticulously perfect. And even in our brokenness, and even in our sicknesses, and even in the things that we struggle with, it is amazing how God still made us. And how God is working even in these bodies and in our minds. We need to remember the creation of God. In fact, the creation of God throughout the Bible is held up as a reminder of who God is, as an encouragement to always come back to God. And if we have nothing to thank God about, we need to thank God for this world that he has made. And no matter where we are in this world, he is beautiful. And he is good. Are we coming into the perspective of God the Maker? But then it went on and said that we need to remember and come into alignment that he is our defender and our deliverer. He reminds us, just like the children of Israel, and they are an example of us, that when they were in captivity, he heard their cry. And he fought for them against Pharaoh. He delivered them. He made a way. It wasn't easy? No. But he was the one who fought for them. No matter what we're going through, are we in the perspective that he's our defender? We don't have to fight for ourselves. We don't have to fix it. God is working on our behalf, and he will bring us through. It may not be as fast as we want. It may not be in the way that we want. In fact, the children of Israel got mad at Moses because Moses didn't do things the way they wanted. But we need to understand that it is he with an outstretched arm that is working for us. That everything that we are facing, he's bigger than that. Whether it is sickness, whether it is finances, whether it is relationships, God is our defender and our deliverer. He's done it before. He will do it again. Do we remember his power? It says that we need to remember the journey. Now, sometimes this is what we don't give perspective at. God could have took them right the short way, but God took them the long way. And this is where we need to understand a perspective that God has a plan to not just bring us through, but to make us better when we get there. His plan is a journey. We need to understand that we need to have a perspective that the journey is a gift. The journey is where the growth takes place. The journey is where we get to know Him more, where we build a relationship with God, even if it's through the dry desert times. That as He brought them through the wilderness, He always made a way. Even when they complained, even when they didn't like what He was doing, God was strengthening them. God was growing them. God was revealing Himself to them. You know, we're walking a journey. We are all on a different part of that journey. But you need to know that God is not randomly just letting you walk. That you are going through the journey, that there is a purpose, that He is growing you, He is refining you. If you will embrace His steps and His plan, it will put thanksgiving in our heart. That we can thank God that He cares enough about me to take me into the wilderness. That He cares enough about me to grow me, to strengthen me, to bring me through those things. But we need to understand that it's His journey. It's not my journey. When we let Him take us down that journey. But you need to understand that we serve a God, that the journey is not just a journey. It has a goal, and there are promises. It says that even though He took them through the wilderness, we thank God because He gave them a new land as a heritage. We need to understand that there are promises that God has given us. Are we thankful for the promises in the midst of the hard times? We may not have received the promises yet, but we need to begin to remember that God has made promises. Just because we don't have them does not mean that we don't remember that He made them to us. And that we can stand upon them because He has never lied to us. He has never let us down. And so we need to begin to embrace the promises. In fact, the Word of God says we need to remember His promises. We need to stand on His promises. We need to just trust for the hope of His promises. Because there's coming a day when we will receive them. But promises are not empty. Because there are always provisions along the way. There are small blessings, even until we get to the main entrance into the promised land of heaven and the new heaven, the new earth. God still drops blessings into our life even now. Do we remember the small things that God does for us? That He delivers us through things that we sometimes never give Him credit for. There are those moments that we cry out to God reflexively, oh God, help me, and He gets us through it, and we never even remember that that was a major. What if God had not done that? When you're on the highway and something happens, you slam on your brake, your life could have been changed drastically forever, and it has not been. You're here today, and yet do we have the understanding of the magnitude of the small provisions that God has given? The small blessings of pleasure, the small things of joy. That no, those are not the fullness of joy, and they're never meant to be the fullness of joy. They're supposed to be little appetizers. And the problem is, we are so focused on the appetizers, that's all we want. God says, don't get so full on the appetizers. There's something better. These are just a taste of the goodness of God. Even though we say, but I'm still hungry. I'm still hurting. God, you haven't given me what I want. And God says, taste and see that this is just a foretaste of what I have for you. And He will give us provisions. He gives us food to keep going. He gives us what we need. And then the psalmist brings us back, and he ends the same way that he starts. In light of all that, we still need to remember who God is. We come back that He is the God above all things. That yes, we are thankful that He defends us. We thank You that He delivers us. We are thankful for the creation He has given us. We're thankful for the journey that he's bringing us through. We're thankful for the provisions that he has for us. But all of this is wrapped up, and we are thankful for who God is. You need to understand who your father is. Are you proud of your father? Do you understand that you have a father, you have a maker, that we can just fall back into and find those times of just in his presence? No matter what's going on around us, our God is good. The saying is, life is hard, but God is good. It may not always go the way we want, but God is good. God is just beautiful. It's not always what he does, it's just who he is. And we need to always remind ourselves of that, of who God is. Our perspective in life needs to first and foremost be based on who God is. Who is God to you? Are you seeing him through the word and what he's revealing himself? Or are we seeing him through these false perspectives? Have we been deceived by the illusions of life that have made God look small? That have made God look scary? And yet, if we will begin to change our perspective and let the reality of his revelation come in, we would see a new side of God that will lift us out of the illusion of that perspective and begin to interact through a relationship of thanksgiving. And finally, if this has not been pounded into us as you read that, we need to constantly be in the perspective of his mercy. Because his mercy endures forever. You see, in all of this, we can be thankful for who God is, but if that's the case, we would be wiped out. We need to understand that here's our perspective. You don't deserve God's presence. We cannot come into his presence. We cannot receive any of his blessings, but thank God his mercy endures forever. You see, he has had mercy on us. We don't deserve it. I am nothing, but his mercy endures forever. When you are hurting and you are crying and you are lonely and you are despondent, you understand that you could live that way forever, but his mercy endures forever. We are destined for an eternity separated from God. You think your hardships now are hard, but his mercy endures forever. You want something to change your perspective, you need to understand the mercy of God that he has poured out on you. You want to be angry at God for what he has done? You need to understand that what has happened to you is nothing compared to if God was not there at all. What you would have to do if it was up to you, or if it was just in this world that is broken and full of ugliness of sin, we need to understand that it is his mercy that has even given us hope to experience joy in this life. Because his mercy endures forever. You see, it's not just a repetition. If we were to read through this again, hopefully we would let it sink in. And instead of waning, it would just grow stronger every time. For his mercy endures forever. You see, this is the perspective that grows the relationship of thanksgiving. So that it's not a prayer that we pray. It is just an acknowledgement of perspective of how I see life. That gives me joy, that gives me hope, that gives me purpose, that no matter what the world throws at me, by God's mercy endures forever. This is the perspective that brings us into the presence of God. That's the perspective that Job had. We close with the scripture that we read in Job, and he struggled a little bit, but this is the perspective that we need. Job chapter 1, verse 20, it says, "Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head." He had just gotten news that his family had all been killed. He had lost all his business, his herds, and everything that his life was built upon was gone. You think you have it hard? You have not lost everything like Job has. I mean, everything. And you're going to find later as you read it, his friends even turn against him and blame him. He loses everything. Even his wife turns against him and turns against God and said, just curse God and die. You have not gone through anything that Job has, but he had this perspective. He fell to the ground and worshiped. How could he worship? Because he had this perspective. This is what he said. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked will I return there. The Lord gave, the Lord took away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. It was not easy. Job was not saying that, oh, I'm loving life. But he just realized, he said, I'm hurting. I'm dying. That is not a reflection of who God is. I still understand who God is. And he, for whatever reason, even though I don't understand, and he even got mad at God. God had to correct him a little bit. But he still understood that blessed be the name of the Lord. Because God is above all these things. And look at, because he had this perspective, if we go to the very end in Job 42, verse 10 says this, and the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. All because Job chose a perspective to see things through the lens of God. I'm not asking us to forget the pain that we're going through, to dismiss the doubt or the worry or the loneliness. All I'm saying is, in the midst of that, would you look through the lens of God? Would you invite God into your life and say, God, I need your perspective. And I'm going to weep. But I'm going to weep on your shoulder, God. And I'm going to cry, and I'm going to seek you. But let's choose that perspective of God that grows thanksgiving, that grows a value of who God is. Because when we value who God is, then the rest of the world is worth very little. And it doesn't hurt us to lose those things if we value God. It only hurts us if we value those things more than God. We need to be like Job and say, God, your mercy endures forever. For you are the Lord of God. You are the King of Kings. You are the Creator. You're my defender. You're my guide in the desert. You're my provider in my everyday life. You are God. And I will choose to line myself up, even when my heart is not there. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's bow our hearts.